The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program, adapted from the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to members read from the addiction recovery program guide for step 2, hope.
Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Addiction Recovery Meeting. I'm Elder Ennis, and I am serving as the missionary group leader this evening.
Hello, Elder.
Hi, Elder
Ennis.
How
you doing? we have a new face here, so we'd like to go around the room and introduce ourselves. We'll start here at my left and have Robert introduce himself.
My name is Robert, and I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
I am Scott, and I'm a recovering pornography addict.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
I'm Abra. I'm a recovering addict.
Hey,
hi,
Abra.
Hi, Abra.
I'm Sharon, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sharon.
I'm Lindsay. I'm an addict.
Hi, Lindsay.
My name's Karen. I'm a recovering drug addict.
Hi, Karen.
My name's Rich. I'm a recovering drug addict.
Hi, Rich. I'm Luann, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hi, Luann.
Hi, Luann.
I'm Steve. I am recovering from massive opiate dependency.
Hi, Steve.
My name is Dub, and I'm a grateful son of God who happens to have multiple allergies.
Hi, Dub.
Thank you. Please turn off your cell phones and pagers so we do not have that interruption during our meeting. And we would like to call on somebody to offer us an opening prayer. Who would like to volunteer?
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity we have to meet together as Thy children and as people who are searching for recovery and searching for the Savior. And Lord, we pray that Thy Spirit will be here tonight, that we'll be able to feel Thy Spirit and hear the words that You would need us to hear to help us grow and develop in our recovery. Lord, we pray for addicts everywhere that they may have experiences that will bring them into recovery meetings or to bring them closer to the Savior. Lord, we just love You very much and are so grateful for this inspired program. And we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. As with all of our meetings, we'd like to start with the church's mission statement concerning the addiction recovery program, and that is, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Addiction Recovery Meetings assist those who desire to recover from addiction. We also welcome family and friends whose lives may be affected by the addiction of another. We are a group of brothers and sisters who share our experience, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the 12 steps of recovery. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we practice these 12 steps in our lives, We receive power through the atonement of Jesus Christ to overcome addiction and receive the full blessings of the gospel. Family and friends who practice these same 12 steps will also find hope and healing for themselves. We will now go around the room and read each of the 12 steps found on page Roman numeral number 4. We invite each person who is willing to read one step. It is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. We'll start here at my left with Robert.
Step 1, admit that you of yourself are powerless to overcome your addictions and that your life has become unmanageable.
Step 2, come to believe that the power of God can restore you to complete spiritual health.
Step 3, decide to turn your will and your life over to the care of God, the Eternal Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Step 4, make a searching and fearless written moral inventory of yourself.
Step 5, admit to yourself, to your Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, to proper priesthood authority, and to another person, the exact nature of your wrongs.
Step 6, become entirely ready to have God remove all your character weaknesses.
Step 7, humbly ask Heavenly Father to remove your shortcomings.
Step 8, make a written list of all persons you have harmed and become willing to make restitution to them.
Step 9, wherever possible, make direct restitution to all persons we have harmed.
And step 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it.
Step 11, seek through prayer and meditation to know the Lord's will and to have the power to carry it out.
Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the atonement of Jesus Christ, share this message with others and practice these principles in all you do.
Each week we focus on a different step. This week we will read step 3, starting on page 13 from a guide to addiction recovery and healing. We will go around the room and each person who is willing may read one or two paragraphs. You may pass if you prefer to listen. We have an extra copy of the guide for you to use in this meeting in case you do not have one. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings and experiences you have in common with those who have taken these steps. We'll go ahead and continue with.
Step 3 is the decision step. In the first two steps, we awakened to what we could not do for ourselves and what we needed God to do for us. Then in step 3, we were introduced to the only thing we could do for God. We could make a decision to open ourselves to Him and surrender our entire lives, past, present, and future, and our will about our lives to Him. Step 3 was an act of agency. It was the most important choice we ever made.
Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles made the following statement about this most significant decision. The submission of one's will is really the only uniquely personal thing we have to place on God's altar. It is a hard doctrine, but it is true. The many other things we give to God, however nice that may be of us, are actually things He has already given us, and He has loaned them to us. But when we begin to submit ourselves by letting our wills be swallowed up in God's will, then we are really giving something to Him.
President Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the Twelve described his decision to yield his will to God and the freedom that decision gave him. Perhaps the greatest discovery of my life, without question, the greatest commitment came when finally I had the confidence in God that I would loan or yield my agency to Him without compulsion or pressure, without any duress, as a single individual alone, by myself, no counterfeiting, nothing expected other than the privilege, in a sense, speaking figuratively, to take one's agency, that precious gift which the Scriptures make plain is essential to life itself, and say, I will do as you direct. It is afterward to learn that in so doing you possess it all the more.
When we took step 3, we faced the truth that recovery was far more the result of the Lord's efforts than our own. He worked the miracle when we invited Him into our lives. Step 3 was a decision to allow God to recover and redeem us. It was a decision to allow Him to direct our lives, remembering, of course, that He always respects our agency. Thus, we decided to put our lives in His hands by continuing to follow this spiritually focused program of recovery.
When we first attended recovery meetings, we may have felt pressured or even forced by others to be there, but to take step 3, we had to decide to act for ourselves. We realized that changing our lives
this much had to be our own decision. It wasn't about what our parents did, what they were doing now, or what they wanted. Neither was it about what our spouses, families, or friends thought, felt, did, or did not do. We saw we had to be willing to stay clean and sober regardless of anyone else's opinions or choices. Our willingness was the solid foundation on which the balance of recovery rested. As we read the Book of Mormon, we discovered a powerful validation of Step 3 in Alma 5:13. They humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God.
When we took this step, we felt terrified of the unknown. What would happen if we humbled ourselves and surrendered our lives and wills completely to the care of God? For many of us, childhood had been very hard, and we were terrified of becoming as vulnerable as little children again. We were convinced by past experiences that making a definite commitment was nearly impossible, given the insanity surrounding us in this world. We had seen too many commitments broken. We had broken too many ourselves. The best some of us could do was try what our recovering friends had suggested. Don't use. Go to meetings. Ask for help. Those who had walked the steps of recovery before us invited us to experiment with this new way of living. They patiently waited for us to become willing to open the door to God just a little bit.
The Lord extends the same invitation. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me.
At first, our efforts were anxious and halting. We kept giving the Lord our trust and then taking it back. We worried that he would be displeased at our inconsistency and withdraw his support and love from us, but he didn't. Gradually, we allowed the Lord to demonstrate his healing power and the safety of following his way. Eventually, each of us realized that we not only had to give up our addictions, but we also had to turn our entire will and life over to God. As we did so, we found him patient and accepting of our faltering efforts to surrender to him in all things.
Our ability to withstand temptation is now grounded in our continual submission to the will of the Lord. We express our need for the power available to us through the Savior's atonement, and we begin to feel that power within us, fortifying us against the next temptation. We have learned to accept life on the Lord's terms. As Elder Maxwell observed, that this submission to the Lord is hard doctrine. It requires us to rededicate ourselves to his will at the start of each day, and sometimes every hour, or even from moment to moment. As we are willing to do so, we find the grace or enabling power to do what we could not do for ourselves.
Continued submission to God's will reduce strife and brings more meaning to our lives. Small things like traffic jams are no longer cause for upset. We no longer fear our creditors. We accept responsibility for our actions. We accept and treat others as we would like to be treated, as the Savior would treat us all. Our eyes, our minds, and our hearts are finally opened to the truth that mortality is challenging and that it will always have the potential to bring us sorrow and frustration as well as happiness.
Each new day we renew our submission to the Lord and his will. This is what most of us mean when we say one day at a time. We have decided to let go of the self-will and self-seeking that were at the root of our addictions and enjoy another 24 hours of the serenity and strength that comes from trusting in God and in his goodness, power, and love.
These 12 steps are a program of action. As we read the section called Action Steps, we learn about recovery and gospel actions we can take to come unto Christ and receive power to live in recovery from addiction. Let's continue our reading.
Action Steps. Attend sacrament meeting. Review and renew baptismal covenants. Taking step 3 and trusting God in all things can be like putting on a new pair of glasses and seeing everything with new eyes. By making the decision to turn your will over to God, you will begin to experience the comfort and joy that come from seeking and doing Heavenly Father's will.
Baptism and this sacrament symbolize your love and surrender to Jesus Christ. You covenant to take his name upon you to always remember him, to follow him and keep his commandments, that you may always have his spirit to be with you.
Speak with your bishop or branch president about your addiction and your decision to follow the will of God. Do your best to attend a sacrament meeting each week. As you worship, listen carefully to the sacrament prayers and consider the gifts that Heavenly Father offers you. Then renew your commitment to accept and follow his will for your life by partaking of the sacrament if your bishop or branch president gives you permission to do so.
As your recovery progresses, you will find yourself more willing to be among those who honor the sacrifice of the Savior. You will begin to experience the reality that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Decide to trust and obey God. Change what you can change, accept what you cannot change.
These words, adapted from a prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr and known as the Serenity Prayer, can help you as you decide to trust and obey God. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
You can accept with serenity the current reality of your condition when you trust in God's ability to help you. You can accept with serenity that although you cannot control the choices and actions of others, you can decide how you will act in each situation you face.
You can decide with courage to trust your Father in heaven and act according to his will. You can turn your will and life over to his care. You can decide to do what he asks and to keep his commandments.
You may not be able to change some things in your life, but you can change your willingness to trust in God and obey him. As you learn to trust him, you will see that his plan is for you to follow what Alma called the great plan of happiness. You will learn that even in affliction and difficulty, all things work together for good to them that love God and keep his commandments.
To understand more about this step of the Addiction Recovery Program, you may also want to listen to the corresponding sharing portion of the meeting.